The word of prayer. Lord, I thank and praise you for the beauty of this day now that you've given to us. This is a day that you have made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we thank you, Father, for making this day. It is a great day. You are a great God. You are an awesome God. You are our God. And you are the only true God that there is out here, according to your word. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for everything about it. We praise you for your word and for the many aspects of it. I ask that you would just teach us here the things here today that you want us to know and to learn and to be taught. That your Holy Spirit would just enlighten us. It was your Holy Spirit that wrote this and was your Holy Spirit that teaches us. And we ask that your Spirit would just guide and direct us here now. Help us to say the right things. I know I studied a lot, but Father, it could be completely different than what I studied that you want us to know. So you just take full control. We need you. We can't do without you, Father. You're the one that we have to depend upon. You're the one that our hope is in. And so we just ask that you would just help us here today. Be with the service to follow. The message you've given the pastor, I just ask that you would just help him to bring it forth, that we could be enlightened through it and for your guidance and direction. We thank and praise you for all things now that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I had given you 22 questions the past couple of weeks whenever we were after this. And you answered your questions very well as far as I care. You did a good job on it. And now we're going to go over and you're going to find out that as we go over this here, a lot of the questions that I asked are in here, and they have the answers, which a lot of the answers are what you answered me. But you'll see as we go through this. So we started out here with the questions, a good wife is a good mother. Now, today we're going to go over God's idea of a good parent. We're going to start this here and see how this goes. Okay, God's idea of a good parent. Proverbs 31, verse 27. We've gone over this before, but this is part of the lesson, so we're going over it again. God's idea of a good parent, you have to have, first of all, a good mother. And Proverbs 31, 27 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness." So this is one that looketh well to the ways of her household. She knows how to run her household. She knows how to she knows how to take care of everything that there is about a household. I mean, and there's a lot. There's a lot that you ladies do that takes care of the household while the man's out working and trying to help to provide for everything. There's lots to the household which he doesn't even. I'm sure that probably you asked a lot of us men. We don't even know half of it, you know. But look. The woman does. That's her job. That's her responsibility, and she does. She looketh to the ways of her household. And it says she eateth not the bread of idleness. What's idleness mean? The state of doing nothing is what it says. The state of doing nothing. Idleness is doing nothing. You got to do something to take care of your household. You can't sit around and do nothing and expect it just everything to go okay. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." It says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house." What do you think buildeth means there? Anyone. Go ahead, Ron.
I think that really means like harmony in the home. Making sure everything is taken care of. It should be taken care of. Everybody's getting along. Meeting the needs of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's good. If you look the word up in the dictionary, it says to increase and strengthen. Increase and strengthen. She's increasing and she's strengthening her house. Is what she's doing. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord maketh you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That's just one thing that she can do. She can, you know, bring that love into the family, you know, that needs to be. Sometimes there's not, with the kids running around, there's not a whole lot of love there. Whenever they're wild, they're unruly and all that kind of stuff, you know, there's not a lot of love there. But mother, she can do that. She can increase that love. That's something that's just one thing, one of the things that she can do. She can give good advice. She can work hard. She can hunger for truth. There's no doubt about that. She can enjoy life. She can express deep thoughts. She can pursue wisdom. You know, she can pursue good advice. You know, a good mother will pursue good advice also. You know, I'm going to go over a verse here pretty directly, and it says that you older women are to teach the younger women, and there's where you can get good. You can get advice. You see, they've gone through it already. Oh, yeah, maybe they've blown it. But, you know, they've learned also, young ladies. So, you know, they can help you sometimes with if you come up with a situation where you may need some help, and you can look to them for advice. They trust God's wisdom. They control their anger. They can keep peace in the family. They can stay on the right, keep the family staying on the right paths of the family, you know. And they can avoid rebellion. So a wise woman does all these kind of things, you see. She's very wise at this. But it says, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. What do you think foolish means there? A foolish woman. Go ahead, Ron.
Going by today's standards.
Yeah, there's a verse we're going over about that, too. Yeah, that's something that is. You look it up, it says, void of understanding or sound judgment, weak in intellect, wicked, sinful, acting without regard to the divine law and glory. You know, she's not doing nothing. She's destroyed by the lack of wisdom. She enjoys foolishness. She's too proud to work. Yeah, I guess I can get into this now. I was going to get into it a little later. This summer, I was driving truck, we had a place where we were dumping all of our stuff, and I had to go past this low income housing development. Every morning, if it was raining, or the sun was shining, there would be women sitting outside. They had their little canopies and stuff like that there. I don't care what time, if I got there, if I took my first load back at 7 o'clock, or if it was at 7:30, whatever, they were outside, they were sitting on their little chairs, they were playing cards, smoking cigarettes, they were putting puzzles together. Now, if that isn't somebody that's idle, I don't know what is. And just, you say, well, maybe they were just doing that, you know, till this or that. You know, that they had to do. It was all day long, till 5 o'clock in the evening. The only time I'd go by there through lunchtime that they weren't sitting there, is that's the only time. So they must have went in to get something to eat. Now, kids' toys and stuff, garbage all over the place at that low housing income place. You know, kids were out playing. I had to watch very closely. There was young kids right along the road, riding bicycles and stuff. Now, where's the mother? What's she doing? Now, that's a foolish mother. I'm sorry. That's not a wise woman. That is somebody that's foolish, you know. They're just foolish at what they do, you know. Things like that there. It's crazy. She hardens under correction. She blames failure on God, is what she does. They're proud. They're haughty. They're arrogant. They despise advice. They make truth useless. They repeat their foolishness constantly. And These ladies must have did it because it was every day that they were out there that I would go by this place. Every day. I mean, I can't see how you can goof off like that every day. I got to keep my mind busy or I go wacko. That's why I'm a workaholic. To ask my wife. She knows it. I'm not afraid to admit it. But I got to keep my mind busy. Once my mind gets idle, look out. I'm thinking of all kinds of crazy stuff, and I just want to keep my mind busy. And that's why I keep my mind busy at all times. And I just couldn't sit around like that. I enjoy to see older people, you know, that's retired and stuff. It's nice to see them out sitting on a swing or something like that there. And I plan to do that. But if you think that I'm going to do that day in and day out, you can forget it. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. The only way that that's going to happen is if I'm laying flat in my back. And there's not much I can do, so. But anyhow, my brother's back here telling my wife something, so I don't even want to ask what it is. These ladies here, they shout in anger. They're seen as fools. They start fights, you know, things like that there. They get into fights. Their words endanger them, you see. So they're foolish. They're a foolish person. You know, they're foolish. And it says here, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. She plucketh it down. Plucketh down, you look it up, means to pull down, to demolish, or to reduce to lower state. Now, how are you going to build your household up if you're pulling it down? And it says she does it with her hands. She's not doing nothing. Nothing to build her household up. To help her household whatsoever. Another verse, 1 Timothy 5:10 says, here's what a good mother is talked about. It says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up her children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So she's well reported of, you know. I mean, there's a goal to strive for, to be well reported of. She's brought up her children. She's lodged strangers. She's brought people in. She's taken care of them. She's washed the saints' feet. I think every wife should, as soon as the man comes home, she ought to take his shoes off and wash his feet. Oh, no. I'm just, you know. But anyhow, I'm just kidding. If she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. You see, she's well reported of. This is what a wise woman will do. She's well reported of. Another verse here, Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 4. Titus 2, 4 says, well, this here is talking about now what I was telling you about. Let me read verse 3. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. They're going to teach them. They're going to teach them to be sober. Teach means giving instructions. She's going to give instructions to the young women to be sober. What are they talking about sober there? These women out drinking all the time or what? What do you think it's talking about there is sober? She a drunk? Jennifer, what are you saying? Mine? Anybody else want to hit that? Go ahead, Nate.
Responsible.
That's good. Good. What's that? Mm-hmm. I looked it up. It says it's sensible. She's sensible. Listen, for me, I mean, look, I'm the first one to admit I'm dumber than a stick. It's got to make common sense to me or forget it. You know, it's got to be sensible. It's got to make common sense. It has to work for me. You know, it has to, right now I'm messing with something. It has to work. You know, there's only one way it's going to work. I see how somebody else does this, and I think, how in the world will something like that work? It can't. I can't see how it can. But for me, it's got to make common sense. It's got to be sensible. And that's what they're talking about here. I keep dropping everything here. It's got to be sensible, you know, for me. And that's what these here, the older women are supposed to teach. The younger women, they're to teach them understanding, they're teaching them to be sensible, to love their husbands and to love their children. I'm going to come back to this verse here in a little bit. But they're being taught to love their husbands and to love their children. They're not going to be one of these foolish ones that sit around idle and do nothing. They're to know how to love their husbands. They're to know how to love their children. So this is what makes a good mother, you know, a good mother. And then back here again in chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 28. Well, verse 27, she looketh well to her ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. She's looking well to the ways of her household. Now, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. So she's being praised. She's being praised for what she does. She's called blessed by her children. You know, she's a blessed person, you know. And she can be glad, you know, that she did follow these ways. She can be glad that she did do the right things. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul here now, he's talking to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, he says, and you've heard this before lots, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee. When I call to remembrance that unfeigned faith, unfeigned there means genuine, not counterfeit, sincere. It's unfeigned. It's sincere. Listen, you younger ones, you want to know how to pass it on from generation to generation? There it is. Don't make it counterfeit. It was passed on to Timothy from his grandmother to his mother to him. I hope you can see that there. You know, it's something it's genuine. If you want to teach your children, make sure it's genuine. Make sure it's not counterfeit. Make sure that you're not telling them one thing and then doing something different. You know, if you're telling them to do something, then make sure that you do it too. That's just the way it is. You know, that's just passing it on there, and that's just what he's talking about. And then chapter 3 here, in verse 15, he says. He's talking to Timothy here once again, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Where did it come from? How did he know those holy scriptures? Anybody want to answer that? Grandmother and mother. They taught them the Holy Scriptures. You know, teach your kids Scriptures. Hey, I thought of something, you know, as I was going through this here a while back, and I wanted to share it with you. You know, sometimes when you have a child, you know that you've disciplined them. You've licked them. You just can't seem to get through to them sometimes. I just wonder how it would work. I'd like to try it myself. I wish I would have with my kids. Get a Scripture verse. Sit them down and say, okay, now, learn it. If they can't learn it, then you help them learn it. And then they repeat it and let the Scripture talk to them. Like, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. You know. Children, obey your parents. I just wonder if something like that there, let the Scripture talk to them once. You've talked to them. You've did everything, you know. And let them sit there and just learn it and learn it. You know, hey, if they got to sit there an hour, if that's part of their punishment, let them sit there an hour. But you better be able to say that verse to me whenever you're done, you know. And then explain it to them. You know, explain that to them. And maybe some of you have tried that already. I don't know. It was just something that came to me as I've been going over this children thing and thinking about this. I thought, I wonder what that would be like once. I'd like to try that. I've got a couple grandsons that I'd like to try it on, but one especially. Of course, he wouldn't learn it yet, but he's getting it. I don't understand. What is it about 2 and 3 year olds? Why do you got to fight with them to eat? I don't understand it. You know, maybe yours eat, but buddy, I got one that doesn't want to. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you got to fight with him constantly. But his little one-year-old brother, one-and-a-half-year-old brother, whatever, will sit there and he'll just put it away faster than you can give it to him. But yet you got to fight with that. I just don't understand that one. But, you know, his dad fights with him, his mother fights with him, I fight with him, his grandmother fights with him. You know, we all fight with him, but sooner or later he'll eat, you know. But, you know, there's some things we've done already to stop. He does eat then sometimes. You can get him to eat. But anyhow, so we see here the Bible talks about having a good mother. God's idea of a good parent is a good mother. She gives her husband dedicated children. She looks well to the ways of her household spiritually and physically. Remember, that was one of the questions that we were talking about. So she is a good mother. A good mother takes care of the ways of her household. She buildeth her household. She increases it. She strengtheneth her household, you know. And strengthen means to encourage there also, you know. Moses talked to back in Deuteronomy. I won't go back to read the verse. I have it written down here. Chapter 3, verse 28. God told Moses, encourage and increase Joshua, because he's going to lead the children into the promised land. He needs it. And that's something that, you know, you have to do with your children. You have to increase and strengthen them. You got to encourage them, you know. There's times where they need encouragement to do some of the things that they're supposed to do. Okay. So that's the first one, a good mother. Questions or comments on that one? Anyone? Okay, God's idea of a good parent. We've gone over it before, but we're going to do it here again just a little bit. They need a good father. Gentlemen, I've gone through it with you before, but you're the head of the home. It's your responsibility to make sure everything is going right. And how many times do we renege on that? We let it depend upon our wives to do it. But it's our responsibility. We're the ones that's going to stand before the judge, and he's going to judge us for that. It's our responsibility. It's his command and his word that we take care of our family, that we take care of our children. And we're the ones. 1 Timothy Chapter 3, again. I got lots of scriptures here I'm going back and forth to, so if you want to stay or write them down or just listen, it's fine. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And it's the same thing as what I'm reading here. It's the same thing for a bishop or a church leader. The same thing for the home, the man in the home. Verse 4. He's one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Gravity means reverence or obedience. Okay? Reverence or obedience. So he's going to have his children with all reverence or obedience. Gravity is what he's talking about. He rules his house well. He's having his children in subjection. It's like whenever you tell them to do something, they better do it. They know you're the one, you're the authority. They need to do it. You know, they need to listen to you. If not, they should know what should be coming next. You know, that's just what it should be. You know, if you're going to teach your children well, if you're going to have rule over your own house, they need to know. They need to know, and that's one that rules his house well. You know, and it's just though in everything. You know, it's in the teachings of the Bible. It's the scriptures that we were talking about, learning scriptures. It's, you know, having that there one-on-one with them, having that talks with them now and again, you know, and all those things. It's just not the mother's responsibility, men. It's your responsibility also to do that. You know, you've got to do that. And that's what he's talking about here. One of the things he's talking about. One that rules his house well. And then he says, let me see here. What do I have written down here? Yeah, okay. Let me look up some verses here first. Titus 1:6. Titus 1:6, he says, here's what he's saying about the man. He says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. They're not accused of riot or unruly. What do you think he's talking about there, riot? What's the word riot mean there, you think?
Could be.
It could. Anybody else want to take a stab at that? Money. Yes, that's a good one. Anybody else? It means, here's what the Bible or the Bible dictionary says. They're on an uproar. They're wild. They're noisy. That's what they're talking about as a riot, you know. It gets chaos. It's chaos sometimes with them, you know. And don't get me wrong. I know what children are like when they get together. Even teenagers, when they get together. You'd have thought the other night that my house was coming down. I mean, literally coming down. If it wouldn't be built the way it is, I think it probably would have came down. Because they were running and carrying on all over the house. And I mean, it was boom, 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 and carrying on, you know. That was teenagers also. And little kids. From year and a half to teenagers. And it's fine, you know. There's times where children have to get that out of them. Corb, your children have to go outside and just get it out, don't they? They do. If you don't let them do it. Listen, they're back here in the Sunday school rooms today. Now, you watch when they come out here. They're ready to go, aren't they? Because they sit there for 45 minutes or an hour. But then they got to sit again, you know, for another hour with the pastor's preaching and stuff. But whenever he's done, you watch. You watch. They're going to go out this door here, and they're going outside here, and they're going to rip and tear, you know, and get some of that their energy out of them. They have to do that. It's there, you know. That's children. Don't get me wrong on this, you know. When I'm saying here that there's times where there is an uproar. There's times where they are a little wild. There's times where they are a little noisy. I think it's neat when a church gets together and look at all these children when they're out there. If they come to my place or if we go back here in the mountains and stuff, they are out there just getting rid of that energy. They're being wild. They're doing these things. That's a good thing there. You know, it's whenever that you want them, that it's time for them to be, you know, calm down, listen to what I'm telling you, you know, and when you're trying to correct them, when you're trying to teach them the Bible or something, that's when you want them to listen. There's no unruliness now. There's no riotous now. You know, you're not carrying on. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Doing whatever they want to
them. Mm-hmm.
Just getting energy out.
No. Right. Right. Exactly.
It says, if any be blameless, husband of one wife having faithful children. I guess it's almost public, isn't it? It's almost talking about what others, not only in the church, but community wise. And boy, that guy's family. He's got person, you know. Perhaps that's what it is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about there, and maybe so. Yeah, you see that other family out there, and you say, "Ooh, they must have some issues there." You know, the dad tells them to do something, you know, and they're lipping back. You know, their rebellion. You can see that they're rebellious and things like that. Yeah, yeah, I can see that too. Yeah, right, exactly.
I've heard it said and I've noticed it in our family. You got to give the kids something to do. You give them news and there's not so many don'ts. There's got to be something there to occupy their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You let them idle or give them no instruction, it's chaos.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, well, unruly here, it means insubordination or disorder or disobedience to lawful authority. You see, and that's just what it's talking about there, you know, just what you're saying, you know. There's disorder, there's disobedience. There's no lawful authority with them whatsoever, you know. And you know, I think this is what he's talking about. It's someone that has control over your family. You know, that's why he's saying being blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, they're not accused of this. You know, yeah, they're going to be, you know, they're going to get rid of energy, but yet they need to be, you know, under subjection. They need to understand, you know, what you say to them and stuff. So that's what he's talking about there. Being riotous and unruly, you know. And you all got some good answers there for that. That's good. Pastor, would you go to Genesis 18, 19? And Corby, would you go to Joshua 2? What is that? No, Joshua 24, 15. I'm going to go to this other one. Here's what God said about Abraham.
Genesis 18, 19, for I know him. He shall command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
God knew Abraham. He knew that he had control over his family. He knew that. Abraham was a just man. Abraham was one of them men that would take care of, if he had to take care of something. He was one of them men. And God knew that. Can he say that about us? You know.
The blessing is Abraham. For me, the blessing is Abraham was not a perfect man. No,
right.
He struggled.
Right.
And he, God dealt with him. And, he, and so, a lot on the other hand, he just did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that the Bible is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. You're right. They're not perfect. There's not one of them that's perfect, and there's not one of us that's going to be perfect either.
Oftentimes, I'll sit down and say, "Man, I'm such a loser," because I am. and so it's just like I'm just thankful for the Bible examples, and yet I'm thankful for the grace of God. God gives us a perfect standard, and it's our job. Our duty to by his grace strive to that perfect standard, and not just lean on, well, so and so failed here, so what's the difference? Well, there is a difference. All right, I'm just gonna make sure.
No, that's right. That's fine.
You know. Still gotta strive for there's no excuse. Anyway.
Right, right.
There's no excuse.
For right, it, so. Right. Here's what Joshua said. See that? He wasn't a perfect man either. And you know that verse very well. But he said, you know, he says, he made his mind up. I am going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know. And I think that's what God's talking about there. You know, someone that will take and make up his mind, just what we went through. Make a decision to say, okay, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what we've got to go through. We're serving the Lord, you know. And you know, that's what I think it's all about. You know, not being perfect, not striving to try to be perfect. You can't be perfect, but you've got to have a goal of some sort for yourself, yes. But as he said there, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
So you still want to strive to be perfect, but receive God's forgiveness and grace when you fail.
Right.
So there's still...
As I said, you have to have a goal.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Acts 10:2. He's talking about here. This is Cornelius. Well, let me read verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his household, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. What does devout mean there? What do you think devout means? See, this is what happens a lot of times. We read the Bible, and then we look over this, and then I start questioning myself, and then that's when I have to look up words, you know, to see the meaning of it, to see what they're talking about behind. Go ahead. Huh?
Devoted.
That's good. That's good. Corb?
I think to be devoted, you got to be consistent and faithful.
Mm-hmm. Nate? Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree. Here's what it means. Yielding a solemn and reverential attention to God in religious exercises, particular in prayer, and we must be consistent and devout in the worship of God. So, you know, he was a devout man, and you can see that right here. You know, he was consistent in prayer because it says, and prayed to God always. He was one that feared God with all his house. And he says, which gave alms to people, to the people. What's alms mean? What was he given there? What's these alms? That's what it is. Anything given gratuitously to relieve the poor as money, food, or clothing, otherwise called charity. He was helping them out. He was helping the poor out. It didn't matter what it was. So he was one that feared God. He was that, and his whole household must have feared God, because it says that feared God with all his house. So he must have been teaching his household the same thing. His house. You know, he must have been teaching them. And he probably taught them to give alms and to pray to God always. You know, there's some things that we can learn from that, you know, that things that we can do with our children to if you want to teach them, you know, to bring them up in these aspects. And then one more verse here I have is Titus 2. Get back here. Titus 2, verse 2 says that the aged men be sober. Okay, that's sensible, be grave, that's reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptibleness, that's integrity, gravity, and that was reverence and obedience, and sincerity, that's incorruptibility. So, This is what a good man does, you know. This is what a good father does. God commands husbands to raise godly children. He tells them that. Now, ladies, will you be his helpmeet and give him godly children so that he can serve the Lord? You see, it's just not one's responsibility, but it's two's responsibility to help out. It's the ladies to help out also. Men, you're the head. You're the one that has to make the decisions. You're the one that has to do these things. But ladies, you have to also help. If he tells the children, you know, about learning scripture verses, and he's not there to help them, you need to help them, you know, et cetera. It just goes on and on and on like that. She's the helpmeet. You're the helpmeet, ladies. So God's idea of a good parent is a good mother and a good father. Questions or comments on that? Okay. We're going to pick this up next week. I got to stop there. We're going to look at seven things a good mother will do. There's seven things that she's going to do, you know, and we're going to look at that next week. Father, we thank you and praise you for this lesson here today. Lord, we can learn a lot from it. We can learn a lot from your word, and we just need to apply it. We have to make that decision, as we were just even taught, Lord, through our revival services, to make a decision that we're going to do it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he made that decision, and I'm positive that he did it. And that's what we need to do. Make a decision of what we're going to do in having a good family, raising children, and just in all these aspects. We praise you, Father, for just everything that you do for us. Give us the guidance and direction that we need throughout this day. In your name we pray. Amen. And one thing I just thought of that I just remembered there. Always remember, when that first one that you held in your arms cried, from that time on, you're a father and a mother for life. That's life. Remember that. Okay, that's it.